D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Vanderbilt back in action tomorrow, hosting Missouri in another key SEC matchup as we approach March. March will be here tomorrow. March Madness is upon us. And joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is Vanderbilt forward Jalen Carey. Jalen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course, anytime. It's an honor to be here, for sure.
So let's talk about the most recent win on Wednesday, a big road win at Texas A&M, 86-84. One thing missing from the Commodores' resume was that marquee road win. You were able to get it against the Aggies. What went right for your team on Wednesday?
I feel like we were just really composed, you know. Our biggest thing has been we haven't played good second halves, and that was a key emphasis going into this game, was just focusing on our second halves, and I feel like we did that. We executed well in the second half, and we're just keep on building on what we have already done, and that's just the best thing we've done.
Let's talk about those second halves, because as you said, one issue that the team has had at various points this season is maintaining that composure in the second half. Opponents have had some runs in the second half. When you look at that particular issue, what would you say has been the biggest cause of that you were able to fix this past Wednesday?
Just scoring the ball. In the second half, in the previous games, the other teams picked up their defense and intensity, and we kind of were shell-shocked, and we just kind of had to calm ourselves down, really, and just make sure we know who we are. We have our identity now, and that's just being tougher, being dogs out there, you know, and bringing a lot of energy from the bench. Me and Glock, we were in foul trouble. If we were just bringing energy. Our guy, JQ, stepped up huge. It was crazy, man. 24, that was my guy. Just always having everybody ready. That was our biggest thing that took away, too, from that game. Guys that usually haven't been there, they stepped up when we needed them, and that was the best, too, also about it.
You followed Mark Byington from James Madison to Vanderbilt. The turnaround that the team has had year over year has been astonishing to watch. Of course, you weren't here last year, but you know Mark Byington as a coach. You know, what has allowed him to get the buy-in from this group that's allowed him to turn around this program so quickly?
I remember Coach B, he had told us last year at JMU that if we sacrifice as a team, everybody's individual goals, our team goals are be the best. And that's what I've always had installed in me since then. And that's why I guess he brought me over here, because he knew that it's going to be hard, you know, now playing with in the SEC. Everybody's got their own egos. Everybody wants their own goals. And it was tough at first, but I'm glad to see everybody starting to come to it now, where as if, hey, if we all share the rock and share the glory, it'll just be 10 times better than everybody having their own individual goals. And that's what he's just been telling us, and he's just a great coach. That's all I can say about that.
Jalen Carey joining us on the program. Jalen, I've noticed something that you do to get inside opponents' heads. After you make a big dunk or a big shot, you'll sometimes run head first into the padded stand underneath the hoop. What's behind that? What are you trying to accomplish there?
It's energy, man. I talk about it after the Texas game. I have the reason why I play this game. I've always been doubted, man. You know, my family's they had their history, brother and dad, and me, I kind of had a different route, and that route has always keep that passion and fire in me. And when I do it, I'm just letting it out, you know. And that's just the passion and energy I like to play with, and it's going to take me somewhere, and that's just what I believe in, you know.
Hey, well, Jalen Carey, don't pull a Trent Green. I don't know if you know who Trent Green is. You may be a little bit too young for this, but Trent Green was the quarterback of the then St. Louis Rams, and he scored a touchdown and ran his head purposely into a mat and ended up getting a concussion. And that led the way for Kurt Warner to come in and be the guy that he ultimately be. So, yeah, bump your head on it, but not too hard. Bandy still needs you, man. They need you, especially as
yeah,
they
I got you. But, yeah, I'm a big guy, man. You know, my dad played football, so I can take some hits, you know. And it's a pass. So.
That's good. That's
I
good.
I got you, for sure.
But looking at this, you talked about just a few minutes ago how – you know, the guys finally, you know, came to a sort of a consensus. Hey, listen, if we're going to have any success, we got to play as a team. And it has to be hard when this is entirely basically a new team, a bunch of guys coming in from different, you know, universities or freshmen that have never played really any time together. And then you throw them all together. They have camp to sort of mesh. But then you get into the season and maybe things aren't going quite as well. It's not because you're a bad team. It's just because you guys hadn't had a lot of minutes together. When was that game this season that you felt and that your team felt, okay, we are a team. We are figuring it out and we see the team that we can become?
Honestly, I feel like it might sound crazy, mm-hmm. even though it was in a loss, but I feel like that Tennessee game on the road, when we played in Knoxville in that tough environment, even though we might have lost, I still feel like, hey, we were right there. We were a play, about one possession bad playoff, and it was just, hey, I really like where we're at, and it's crazy, you know. And even though we lost that game, I still feel like we were right there, and everybody realized it. Even though we might have lost the next game, too, after that in Kentucky, it was like, it kind of felt like the same thing. We're just that step off. And I felt like after that Kentucky game, we kind of like starting to, hey, we're starting to bring in more in practice. We're starting to have more intensity and it's firing us all up. And I really do appreciate that and enjoy that with this team right now. Cause usually during this time, teams start to fall off or get better. And it's good to see that we're on the right track and we're steady improving and keeping better right now.
Now, I'm sure it's a positive thing to see in that run versus Texas A&M that four of the guys on the floor were guys that are not starters, but yet and still you're playing a very good Aggies team. And those guys were able to hold their own, which to me signals that, hey, this team may not be as big, but it seems like they're getting deeper, and that's the good thing heading into not just the SEC tournament, but March Madness.
Yeah, Coach B always says, if you're not gonna praise your teammates or clap for your teammates, and when it's your time to come, you're gonna look like poop out there. So, all the guys that were out there that were, like you said, shining in those moments, they were positive when it wasn't their turn, and even the guys who were on the bench, like myself and my other teammates that weren't shining against the Texas A&M, we were supporting them and bringing them energy. And that's what it's all about, just supporting each other when it's not our turn. It's not our time to shine. It's just, can we be there for our teammates when we need them? And that's what it's about, man. And I really do like that about our team. We're starting to realize it, and that's good.
We'll talk with Jalen Carey, Vanderbilt's sophomore forward. Now, in a lot of these games, Jalen, you guys have played excellent first halves, especially in the games that you lost. But it's been the second halves of those games where it seems to have gotten away from y'all. And I don't think it's so much that y'all can't compete. I just think sometimes because y'all are allowed to be physical in the first half, the second half, y'all still have that mentality. And all of a sudden, guys like McLaughlin and yourself get into foul trouble, which puts y'all on the bench. How do you adjust to that when the calls change, when it goes from being a very physical first half and no fouls are being called or not that many to a second half, you're still being physical, but now they are making those calls?
We just got to know that we got to just adjust. That's all. Even myself, I may be young, but we can't use that excuse right now, especially we're around 17 or around 60 tomorrow. We just got to be ready to do what we got to do. And like you said, adjusting to knowing that the foul calls are going to change because our team needs us, especially in the second half. And, yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Jalen, I know that you don't need to be reminded of this, but I'm just going to read you the rankings of your past five opponents. Number one, number five, number 17, number 24, and number 12. We've talked a ton this season about just the gauntlet that is the SEC, but take us inside what it's like to play these high caliber opponents on a nightly basis. There is no night off in the SEC. So what is that like as a player?
Man, it's just a blessing, man. Coming out of high school, I didn't even think I was going to be able to get any scholarships, and playing at JMU, it could really show you something about life. And, we had the blessing where my team was crazy last year and playing in packed gyms, but not big arenas. And now in the SEC, playing, like you said, this gauntlet schedule, playing in front of tens and 20,000 people every night, it's crazy. It's just, I'm just blessed to be in this position right now. And like you said, it's a crazy gauntlet, and I'm just blessed and just excited every night for a new challenge that is upon us, and it's just amazing, man.
Last one for you, Jalen. Let's talk about tomorrow's game, hosting number 14, Missouri. Missouri had a big win not too long ago against Alabama. What's your scouting report on the Tigers for tomorrow?
I can't give you too much, but we're going to come in there with an NFL mindset, football mindset, that it's going to be a dogfight, and we're going to have to try to withstand some adversity and just keep going and keep fighting, and eventually it'll come to us.
Jalen Carey, Vanderbilt basketball forward, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Jalen, thank you so much for your time. Good luck tomorrow against Missouri.
Of course. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
Jalen Carey joining us on the program. By the way, you can listen to Vanderbilt take on Missouri tomorrow here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 5 o'clock tip-off, 4:30 pregame show. So be sure to tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game tomorrow. And Derek, I know I said this yesterday following Vanderbilt's win against Texas A&M on the road. Coach Willie isn't here to be Coach Willie. I think Vanderbilt's in. I think the one thing that Vanderbilt was missing from its resume for the selection committee was a marquee road win. And they got that marquee road win against Texas A&M. They've beaten Tennessee. They've beaten Kentucky. Winning tomorrow at home against Missouri, a very good Missouri team, and Missouri's had an incredible turnaround. Speaking of turnarounds, Vanderbilt's had a really great turnaround. Missouri has had probably an even bigger turnaround. Mm-hmm. Beating Missouri, who just beat Alabama, at home tomorrow would be the cherry on top for me. But it's been really wonderful to see the Commodores competitive again. There were some lean years these past couple of years, and Mark Byington had, as Jalen Carey mentioned, JMU was one of the top, I guess you could call them mid-major teams in the country last season. A lot of people had them maybe making a little run in the tournament. They pulled off an upset in the first round of the tournament, if I recall correctly, against Wisconsin before – I'm not upset by this – before being taken down by Duke in the second round. But JMU, an incredibly tough team – last year, Mark Byington brings that here, and it's been paying dividends. The interest in Vanderbilt basketball, seeing this proud program playing meaningful games again in late February and early March, is something that I am happy to see again.
Yeah, and I think that's what everybody, at least let's say Vandy fans, this is what they wanted to see. This is what they were used to, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, when was Vandy this great pop? No, but Vandy was a good team, and going to Memorial Gym meant something, It wasn't just walking into Memorial and, it's going to be a loss. Which team is going to show up? No, you knew which team was going to show up. They were going to play hard, period. And now they're starting to get back to that. But what makes it even more impressive, Adam, is that the year which they're doing it in is a year where the SEC is the dominant conference.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking six teams. I'm talking 1 through 12 possibly. Dominant teams. They can, like, 12 of these teams can go into any conference in college basketball and compete for the title, for their title, that specific title, whether it be the ACC, Big Ten, or whoever else. We haven't seen this from the SEC. I don't think I've ever seen it where this many teams have been this good. And I'm happy to be able to talk about Vanderbilt in the same breath as a Kentucky, a UT, an Alabama, even Auburn, even though Auburn has shown that they are the top and the cream of the crop. But when Vandy played them, Vandy had a shot. That first half, Vandy stood toe-to-toe. And it wasn't until the second half, as they started to get into the second half, then they started getting into the foul trouble. Then Auburn truly showed they are the best team in the country. Auburn's done that to everybody, and it wasn't just Vanderbilt. But because Vanderbilt, the way they're playing is such a really, really good conference, that should, to me, if I'm a Vandy fan, that makes me feel good about my program moving forward.
Yeah, I like the job that Mark Byington has done. It's been fun watching Vanderbilt games. You know, Vanderbilt games for me this season have been appointment viewing. And as Jalen Carey said, second halves have been an issue. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an issue on Wednesday against Texas A&M. They were able to close out Texas A&M. But all of these games, at one point in all of these big SEC games, really, they've been in it.
Yes.
Have they been able to finish the job? Not always. But they've been in it. I mean, think about the game against Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? It was like 13-0, I want to say it was. 15-0. Auburn just came out and blitzed Vanderbilt. And,
what was the score at the half?
I think they were down 4, I want
34
to say.
32.
Okay.
Auburn.
They were down 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the lead in the second half
yes.
of that game, if I recall correctly. So I remember watching the beginning of that game. They were down 13-0, 15-0. I can't recall exactly. And I was like, all right, well, Vanderbilt gave it. They gave it a shot, you know. And then I kept on checking the score, and I saw Vanderbilt clawing back into the game. And I sat down and watched the game. And sometimes that's all you can ask for a basketball program, is make the games interesting. And we even saw that with the football program as well. You know, Vanderbilt has done a really good job lately with their football and basketball programs. And Vanderbilt is back in action tomorrow against number 14 Missouri at Memorial Gym, a game that you can hear right here on 102.5, 106.3. The game, 615-737-1025. It's time to ask D-Mace. So get your questions in, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Mostly nothing is off limits. I screen
mostly.
These things. I screen the texts. David screens the calls, but Derek is game. He'll answer mostly whatever
yes.
you want. 615-737-1025. It's time for Ask D-Mace. We'll do that next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, 1025-1063. The game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Before we get to your questions, some major breaking news in the NFL, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. LA's quarterback is back. The Rams and Matthew Stafford reached agreement today on a restructured deal that keeps him in Los Angeles and quashes any and all trade speculation per sources. The first significant offseason QB domino has fallen, whether Matthew Stafford returned to LA or was traded to another team was going to influence potential pending quarterback decisions with multiple NFL teams. Now that Stafford is slotted to LA, quarterback needy teams such as the Raiders, Steelers, Giants, and Browns can continue on with their offseason quarterback plan. So Matthew Stafford staying put in Los Angeles because that's where all of his stuff is.
Yeah, I think that was a play to possibly get more guaranteed money, because if you look at the LA Rams, they're now starting to cycle through that whole, you know, we had to do this to win the championship, that all-in cycle. And they got their championship. And then it took them a couple of years, including this year, to sort of cycle out of that. Where else would he – what's like, you're in a position now, your defense has been upgraded. You got a young, good defense. You got a young, good wide receiver. Two of them, matter of fact. You have a pretty good wide receiver. I mean, pretty good running back. Your offensive line is pretty good. Why would you want to – and you're in that – why would you want to leave the Rams again? I don't understand that. To me, it was just how I want to get more guaranteed money. That before I hang it up, I want one more big contract. And that big contract means I want one more big guarantee. And he's going to get it. Why would he want to lead us the LA Rams? I didn't see the logic behind that anyway.
So the news from Adam Schefter: the L.A. Rams and Matthew Stafford, they're staying together. And we'll go ahead there.
No, and why would the Rams want to get rid of them? They don't have no contingency plans.
Well, we'll see what the contract value is. Yeah. That has not been reported as of yet. Once we hear what that is, we will let you know. But Matthew Stafford off the board, staying in Los Angeles, and we'll talk about what that means for the quarterback market after Ask D-Mace, but it's time to Ask D-Mace. Let's start with our friend Eric on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yes, and I'm going to start off as per usual with my dad joke. This is not one I made up, and it's, you know, whatever you think of it, but, you know, but here goes. What do you get when you cross a mallard with a clown?
A mallard with a clown. Mm-hmm. Something about a duck. A ducklehead instead of a knucklehead?
No. Daffy Duck.
See that one? No, Eric. I'm not. Today you didn't hit. Today you didn't hit, Eric. Today wasn't one of those days.
I gave him a courtesy chuckle.
But we can be real. We can be real with Eric. Okay.
Yes, we can.
You do. You usually come with something good. That one, you got to go back to the drawing board, Eric.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. It's tough sometimes to pick up jokes on the fly or come up with ones. I always try to, but yeah, okay. You know, I had the feeling eventually I was going to miss. But my SD-Miss question is this. You may have heard this earlier today. I heard this, that there was a report that the Titans organization had talked about that they were open to bring back Mason Rudolph. I'd wondered if you'd heard that and just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I was surprised when I heard that. Because I thought either him or Will Esposito was coming back, not both. But now it just is interesting. I'd heard that this morning. Wanted to get your thoughts on that, and if you had heard that, guys, I'll get off. Y'all have a great weekend. Y'all take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for the call, Eric. So, Eric, we did discuss this briefly at the end of yesterday's program. There was a story from Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com talking to Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi about Mason Rudolph. And Callahan praised Rudolph for the job he did last season and did not completely close the door on Mason Rudolph. And, Derek, you were adamantly opposed to the Tennessee Titans bringing back Mason Rudolph. In case you didn't hear it, explain to the people why you don't like this idea.
Where do I start? But, okay, listen, for one, if I am going to sort of run it back in a sense, I don't want Mason Rudolph. But because Mason Rudolph does nothing for this offense. He doesn't excite it. It's not an exciting offense when Mason Rudolph is that out there. And if you're not in a position to win a bunch of games, then at least let it be entertaining. For this reason.
You love Jameis Winston for this reason.
Because, listen, eventually, and they're starting to do it. You see it. Eventually, your fan base. Listen, no fan base likes losing. No, none. At least I don't think there is. But if you're going to lose, make it exciting. Score 35 points. You know, I'm not saying you got to score 35 every game, but average 25 points a game, 24 points a game. You haven't done that in 2 years. Or maybe even three. Average 24, 25 points a game. That's exciting for the fan base. All while you're asking them to pay this extraordinary amount for these new tickets or these new seats that are going to be in that beautiful stadium that they're building. So you're telling me that, okay, I'm just going to throw Mason back out there and let him do it. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to see more people walking away. That's what you're going to see because people already seen Mason Rudolph. They don't want to see no more of that. They don't want to see pedestrian football. They don't want to see turtle football. I know at the end of the story the turtle end up winning. I get that. But this ain't a story. This ain't a turtle and hare story. No one wants to see turtle play unless you're winning. If you're not winning, you better be scoring a lot of points. That's why I'm like, don't come back with Mason Rudolph. Don't. Bring in someone that's, one, is going to present competition to whoever you draft or however this thing works out. But also I want to bring in a guy that's going to be exciting for my offense, that's going to put points on the board. Yeah, we may lose, but you ain't going to say we lose because we couldn't score over 25 points or we couldn't score over 20 points. You couldn't score over 20 points for the last 2.5 seasons, almost 3. I don't want to see that no more. And Mason Rudolph was a part of that. So you're asking me, do I want to see Mason Rudolph? No, I don't want to see Mason Rudolph again because I saw that story already. Bring somebody else. Bring Jameis Winston or somebody else. Hell, go get Fitzpatrick. Go get him. At least he's known for throwing 3-4 touchdowns in a game. Don't bring back Mason Rudolph.
Mark, our friend Mark from Nashville is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Oh, I'm really angry today, boy. I tell you, man, I had to put 50, more cents in this payphone, Adam. I'm on hold, man. I mean, what am I supposed to do? But hey, Adam, I got a favor to ask from you, real quick.
Okay, let's hear it.
D-Mace, this question. I sit here and been listening today. I'm riding down the interstate on my back at work again, but I'm riding down the interstate and I'm hearing all this hatred for Shedeur Sanders. Hey, Nashville, the Titans, y'all don't want him. Hey, that's a blessing to the Raiders. We'll take him at 6. You know, I'm getting tired of hearing all this about, you know, hey, look, Deion and Shedeur done a lot for Jackson State and Colorado. The Colorado came up out of the budget is a plus because they were almost broke. Jackson State got new facilities out of it. Deion and Shedeur did a heck of a job. And if he's arrogant, I like arrogant people. Hell, Steelman's arrogant, you know, but hey, still, I love arrogant people. At least they are real, man. And there's nothing wrong with him being confident and arrogant. So be it. He can back it up. But if y'all don't want him, Tennessee, give it to us. We'll take him with Tom Brady's ownership and Pete Carroll coaching. We need a quarterback, so I'm through with that. But, D-Mace, as far as the question, I just wanted to ask you this. I know it's a crazy question, but when you were playing football, and I know all y'all had a playbook and stuff as far as wide receiver, and knowing the offense, was the playbook really complicated, man, as far as the verbiage and all that? I know that's a crazy question to ask you, but I always wanted to ask you that because I've always heard that a NFL playbook is really a complicated book. So I'm going to leave you with that. Y'all have a good weekend. Sorry about getting mad, but I hated digging in my pocket for 50 cents and waiting on Kevin Hart to tell that bad joke he told. So I'm going to let y'all go.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Y'all my man, Eric, Mark. Come on. We can't have caller on caller crime here.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's good. Listen, I've said this before. Because sometimes the assumption is, well, football players or athletes in general, they don't know nothing. They're just dumb and you know, whatever these stereotypes have been for athletes in general. That's not the case. Listen, everybody excels at their professional fields different ways. Some people, you know, are ones that can, you know, regurgitate things, you know, process it and all this other stuff. And some people can't, you know, but that doesn't mean that, you know, they don't, they're dumb or something. Here's the thing. An NFL playbook is like an encyclopedia. And I mean that literally. It's like an encyclopedia. And just imagine for all y'all out there listening, just imagine if I gave you an encyclopedia, what's today? The 29th, 28th?
Today's the 28th.
Today's 28th, the last day of February, the 28th. Just what if I gave you a encyclopedia on the 28th and then told you by June, because we got mini camps, but by June or July, you need to know this whole playbook. You need to know it all. You need to know that whole encyclopedia in 3 months. Not many people can do that. They can't. I'm going to tell you, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. But that's what it's like in the NFL, especially for quarterbacks. Just imagine. Because a quarterback has to know what everybody does. That is, it takes a lot of intelligence, smarts, whatever you want to call it. It takes a lot to be able to sit down, read all that, process all that, and then go out on the field and you expect me, after I've just given you 100 plays, no lie, if I've just given you 100 plays, you expect me now to go on the field and run those plays? Just call them out. When you call them out, I just run them? That is a hard thing to do, and guys do it. Not all of them, but majority of the guys are able to do it, whether it be college or the NFL. So it takes a lot to learn these playbooks. And Wes is right. Wes, you're right. That whoever told you that, they are exactly right. That playbooks are like encyclopedias, all of them.
615-737-1025. We'll get to your questions for Derek. So if you're calling, texting, stick with us. We've got plenty more to get to with Derek coming up next. But before we do, Nashville's best deal this week is from Barrio Burrito Bar in Murfreesboro. At Barrio Burrito Bar, every bite is a celebration of fresh ingredients, vibrant spices, and bold flavors, dancing on your taste buds like a fiesta in your mouth. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now and get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last. D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Before we get back to your questions for Derek. So we started Ask D-Mace with the breaking news that the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford have agreed on a restructured contract. This was the immediate follow-up report from multiple people. But I'm seeing the one from Diana Russini, so I'm going to read hers. The New York Giants, here's my sidebar, who were big into Matthew Stafford. Back to Diana Russini. The New York Giants are now shifting their interest to Aaron Rodgers. They've been discussing it all week in Indianapolis, per sources. Aaron Rodgers, all his stuff is there.
Yeah.
Playing at the same stadium. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers and the Giants. Interesting. Interesting. We will discuss more of the domino effect of Matthew Stafford sticking in L.A. after Ask D-Mace. So Matthew in Nashville texts in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is actually a quarterback-related question, so maybe we can do it here. Okay. If you were any of these quarterback-needy teams, would the fear cross your mind that this draft could be as bad as the 2022 class, but you feel like you almost have to take a quarterback, even if it doesn't work out like the Steelers did with Kenny Pickett?
No, I wouldn't feel that way because every draft is its own entity. So I wouldn't, you know, if I don't think there's a draft, if I don't think there's a quarterback worthy of being drafted at the position I'm drafting at, then I'm not drafting him. I'm moving on. I'm getting another player. And, you know, maybe get a quarterback later in the draft. But I'm not going to sit here and draft a quarterback just because I need a quarterback, and also the quarterback prospects are very, very slim. I'm not just going to go out there and say, oh, I got to take this quarterback. Even though he's not quite what I want, I got to take him because I need him and there's no other quarterback. No, then don't take a quarterback. Take somebody else and find another alternative or find another way or another avenue to get your quarterback, you know? So as a GM, I wouldn't do it. How would you go about that process, Adam? Because I wouldn't draft a quarterback, you know, if I didn't feel he was worthy of me drafting him at that particular spot. I wouldn't draft him just because.
Look, we've made this analogy many times before. You know, going to the bar and you're hoping to pick someone up and go home. And sometimes when you're desperate, you do things that you never thought you would do. But with Matthew Stafford off the board and the quarterbacks available in this draft, we've talked a lot about Shedeur Sanders today. We'll continue to talk about Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. You know, the 2022 quarterback class, that included Kenny Pickett, that included Malik Willis, among others who are escaping me right now. Mm-hmm. But it is considered one of the worst quarterback draft classes in recent memory in the NFL. So I understand the question, like, you need a quarterback. Uh-huh. So are you going to be willing to do something, even something you may not want to do just because you need a quarterback? I get that. You know, but there are going to be perfect, like you mentioned Mason Rudolph, right? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be Mason Rudolph, hopefully. But there are Mason Rudolph type quarterbacks that are readily available. For example, there was a story on ESPN.com earlier this week where Seth Walder, who is one of ESPN's analytics writers, predicted the starting quarterback for every team in the NFL next season. Now, since he published this story, some things have changed. For example, he predicted that Derek Carr would be the New York Jets quarterback, but Derek Carr is expected to remain in New Orleans, so that has changed. Can I tell you who Seth Walder predicted the Titans starting quarterback to be in 2025?
I think I know who it is. You want me to say it?
Go for it.
Jones?
Which one?
Mac?
No. Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, wow.
Seth Walder writes, in this scenario, Brissett again takes on the role of a bridge quarterback who could mentor a young signal caller. I think the Titans, who have a new GM and thus have time on their side, will trade down with the Giants mm-hmm. and select a quarterback at the tail end of the first round or on day two. But well-respected Brissett starts in week one for Tennessee. Now, there are some of you who are listening to this and going, oh, my God, Jacoby Brissett? But Jacoby Brissett's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not going to – you may have heard this in some of the promos that we have on the station. I think this is what I said. I'm not going to go crazy if I'm the Titans looking for a franchise quarterback this offseason. If they decide that the best thing for them is to spend a small amount relative to what quarterbacks make on Jacoby Brissett mm-hmm. to be their quarterback, Jacoby Brissett is the ultimate, I just need a guy to be a placeholder for a little while. He's done it how many times in his career by yeah. now?
It's like a few times.
It's like him and Tyrod Taylor. Like the two of them are the ultimate placeholder quarterbacks. If the Titans decided that they were going to pay Jacoby Brissett, I don't know how much he would make, but it probably wouldn't be much. If they were to decide to pay Jacoby Brissett to be their quarterback to start the season, I'm not going to be mad about it. I would rather them do something like that than to pay big money on a quarterback that doesn't work out or draft somebody high that doesn't work out. But I understand the texter's point. One texter, David in Arkansas on our text line, says, D-Mace, this popped up on my news feed the other day. Mm-hmm. 25 years ago, Nashville held a parade for the team that went to the Super Bowl. What were your and your teammates' feelings about a parade after losing that heartbreaking game?
It was appreciated, even though we didn't, you know, the ultimate prize and the ultimate, you know, parade is winning the Super Bowl, that's what brings the most excitement out of you. Not only the parade, but the fact that you're holding up or hoisting up the Lombardi Trophy as you're, you know, going down Broadway. Unfortunately, we were not able to do that. But, you know, you typically don't see it, but we were in a unique position, situation. Because this team had never had a NFL team, because we spent basically 2 years, you know, away from Nashville in a sense, because we're in Memphis. And then even though we came back to Nashville the next following year, we were playing at Vanderbilt. Thank you, Vanderbilt. But we were playing at Vanderbilt, and it wasn't conducive for an NFL team nor NFL fans. But we made it work. And then to go into our stadium, our new stadium at the time was Adelphia, having our new, you know, facilities, and then coming in there and going to a Super Bowl, I think it was more so about the fans in the city showing appreciation to us and us realizing that than anything. It wasn't like, oh, why are we having a parade? It was thank you, because I think you understood that this doesn't happen in every place. And we had a good team moving forward. So I think every guy, every person to a man or a woman, because it was the organization, it was to us an appreciative gesture that they showed. They appreciated us as a team and what we were able to accomplish. So I enjoyed it, and I can say, truthfully say, I think everybody in that organization enjoyed it. But we understood that, man, it would have been even better had we come back with the Lombardi Trophy.
Josh in Dixon says, watch Jacoby Brissett in Cleveland. He's not Brady, but he doesn't suck. So Jacoby Brissett started in New England, was in Indianapolis for 4 years. He went to Miami, then Cleveland, then Washington, then back to New England. So he's been everywhere, man. But that's what I'm saying about the quarterback situation. It's like I'm not going nuts finding a quarterback this offseason. If Sam Darnold doesn't work out, if Aaron Rodgers ends up with the Giants, because there have been reports that the Giants are now shifting their focus to Aaron Rodgers now that Matthew Stafford is off the board. If they don't want to draft Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, they don't want to start Will Levis, they don't want to bring back Mason Rudolph, and it ends up being Jacoby Brissett, I'm not going to be upset with the Tennessee Titans, to use the term that Willie uses. It's an exploratory year. I know that Titans fans don't want to watch a 3-14 football team again, but if they are a losing team again, hopefully it's not this bad, but if they are a losing team again and it helps them continue to build towards contention, I'm not going to be that mad about it. But then again, we'll see what actually happens when the football season starts, and I'm tired of watching bad football. 615-737-1025. So as we've said, Matthew Stafford has agreed to a restructured deal with the LA Rams, a big quarterback off the board, because it's going to change the outlook for a lot of different teams. How does this impact the Tennessee Titans? We'll do that next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.